Right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Please rise. Turn and face the back of the sanctuary for us this morning. We greet you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing our processional hymn this morning. It's printed for you there in the bulletin, 918. Guide me, O thou great Redeemer. Please be seated. The Lord reigns, let the people tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim, let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. The King in his might loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Please stand if you're able for our Kyrie. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this morning, our Sunday of the Transfiguration, comes from the book of Deuteronomy, Chapter 34. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the plain. That is the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, I will give it to your offspring. And I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all of Israel. This is the word of the Lord. We continue with our epistle lesson from the book of Hebrews in the third chapter. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more glory or more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. This is the word of the Lord. We invite you to stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel and our Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. And as he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud, saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. We join now in singing our sermon hymn for the day. That's hymn 402, "The Only Son from Heaven." Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. It's really verse 35 this morning of our gospel reading from Luke's gospel that should hit us this morning. Should really impact us today. Should hit us with full force. Because no matter what theories we might have on God, or that I might have on God, the one answer given from the cloud at the transfiguration of our Lord Jesus is the only answer. It's Almighty God, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Isaiah, the God of David. See, he doesn't speak out of both sides of his mouth. But with one voice, he speaks very clearly and without any confusion these words from verse 35. He says this, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." It's a simple statement. It's a simple command that he gives this morning. It's as if God is setting and answering and settling all our questions of where to get our information about God and how he works. He's telling us in no uncertain terms who's trending. And it's our own ideas that lead us astray. It's our own logical conclusions of our mind based on the information that we perceive around us that might lead us to try to find answers about God in places where God is not giving answers about himself or what he's doing. We hear it all the time, right? People looking around. I say people, I mean all of us do this from time to time. Looking around in an uncomfortable or difficult situation and saying, "Why would God let this happen to me?" And they're looking for answers. They're looking for God to speak and explain himself. Or kind of a cousin to that one, right? Like, why hasn't God answered my prayer and giving me what I want? And to find the answer to that interrogative, we go out and look and pay attention to try to find out why. But guess what? Our text this morning shows us that we're probably looking in the wrong place for those answers. Even Peter, in our text, even his good idea, right, that he spouts up with when he sees Moses and Elijah with our Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration and Jesus shining, even his idea, which was, "It is good, Lord, that we're here. Let's build three tents and tabernacle out here like the Israel would have in the Feast of Booths." Even that is seemingly overlooked in the text. His ideas, well, it wasn't really about his ideas, was it? And it's not really about ours either, is it? What God is doing in this world, it's not about my plans. And I know you know it's not about yours. It's also not about our understanding of the way that we synthesize the information that we can see with our eyes and hear with our ears. Instead, it's put forward to us in our text in a most simplistic way. Simple enough that anyone can clearly hear it and clearly understand it. If you want to hear God, if you want to know what He's really up to, if you want to have your why question answered, or if I want to have my why question answered, if we need an answer for those things, we got to stop listening to our hearts. We got to stop listening to our own conclusions based on the information around us. And straight up, full stop, listen to Jesus. We hear it and think it all the time. God, just tell me what to do. What do you want? He is telling us, friends. Right here in our reading this morning. Want to know what God says to you about your life, your choices, the things on your plate, the things that you're anxious or worried about? Here it is. Simple. This is my beloved Son. Listen to Him. Fact is, there's no confusion, not anymore. Because simply put, Jesus of Nazareth is God to us. Any God imagined in our minds that isn't Jesus is not God at all. The book of Hebrews is going to echo these same things when it says in Hebrews, in many and various ways, God spoke to the people of old by the prophets, but now, in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. You know what gets me about this is that it's kind of amazing to really take this to its end, right? God is not speaking to us the way that we often listen for Him. Maybe you had a similar experience as me, but when I was young, I went to church camp and really enjoyed my time at church camp, especially snack time. That was my favorite. I'd go hit the snack booth for the Skittles or the things that we enjoyed. And I had leaders, and we did devotions and times like that. You know, we had our campfire time and devotion time. And usually in the morning, they'd tell us, you know, go off by yourself. Take your Bible and go off by yourself and pray. And pray about what you're worried about and listen for God to answer. And I would. I would wander off by some tree and sit down, and I'd listen. But you know what happened? No one spoke to me out there by those trees. Now sure, I had thoughts in my mind, wandering around, and always, you know, those thoughts are pervasive, right? You understand, you can't help but think thoughts, and that would happen to me, but I gotta be honest and say no one ever spoke to me. I never heard a voice, I never heard God's voice, even though I tried. And when Patricia and I were younger, we were joking about this yesterday, how quickly the time continues to go, but when we were younger, we had a farm and a home, and we were forced to have to sell it because of economic things and alfalfa prices and things like that. Right in the middle of that struggle, I went up to the mountains one day, and I walked up on the top of a mountain, and I was hurting and confused at what was happening in my life. And when I got up there, I thought I'd pull a Moses, and I took off my shoes, thinking maybe God would listen, maybe I was with God, maybe I was on holy ground or something like that, maybe that would help the communication. And the wind blew for hours up on the top of that hill, but I never heard anybody talk to me, not a single peep actually, nothing. And when my last field of barley, my last one, was just about this tall, the wind started to blow as it does in the valley, and it blew that sand across that barley field for so many hours that it completely killed every stem of barley on that whole field. And in the middle of that storm, I drove up there and I got out of my pickup truck and I walked out in the middle of the sandstorm. Sand beat me in the face. I was so angry and I yelled and I screamed at God. And I said, "Why are you doing this to me?" Answer? Nothing. Just the wind and the sand hitting me in my face as our livelihood was disappearing before my very eyes. No cloud, no Moses, no Elijah, no shining Jesus, no voice. Why am I telling you all this morning? Because obviously this passage in Luke in his gospel is not at all about me, and I know that very well, actually. I'm sharing with you just in case you're feeling like that too with your life decisions. Just in case you're in a situation right now where you don't understand what's happening in your world and your reality, or in case you smell one coming that you're anxious about and fretting about and worried about, and you're looking for answers from God, we're not going to find them the way that we most often think we might, in some pious feeling out in the wind or in the forest or something like that. We're not going to find them there. God the Father, God of all creation, tells us exactly where to hear his voice this morning. Verse 35. This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. If you want to know God, then get to know Jesus, literally on the pages of your Bible. If we want to hear God's voice to us about our situation, learn the teachings of your Lord who died for you. He's not going to write a paragraph up in the clouds and tell us something or speak to us in some amazing moment. Moses was the only prophet. Not has there ever been a prophet arose like Moses that God spoke to face to face. It's not going to go down that way. Could he? God, I mean? Absolutely. He could. But he's telling us in clear and simple language this morning that he's not going to do it that way. Straight up, he says it. Just like he told Moses, straight up. There it is, bud, but you don't get to go in. He's not going to do it the way we want him to do it. So what do you and I do in our situations that we're facing in our lives today? Well, what did Jesus say in his word? That's the question. What does he say in his word? And what does that mean to our unique situation and lives and personal situations? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to mankind. In other words, what we're dealing with, well, like Ecclesiastes says, they're new under the sun. Is there an answer for you in the words of our Lord and the Holy Scriptures? You better believe it. There is. He's literally told us this morning how he's speaking to us. We don't want to hear him that way, do we? I mean, praise God if we do, because he's worked that in us through his word and his Holy Spirit. But most often we want it our own way, not how he's chosen to speak. And in doing that and thinking that, we want to control how he's going to speak to us, put him to work for us on our terms, and according to our demands. Which I think leads to this point. So let me ask you, what if God told you what to do exactly in a certain situation? What if he took up, like, my, God rest her soul, my beloved mother-in-law used to tell me, God's not going to take up skywriting for you. That was good advice. Well, what if he did, for just a moment, wrote up in the clouds with some fancy calligraphy what the answer to your exact question that you're pondering or dealing with right now? We've got to ask, if that happened to you or to me, would we listen to what he said anyway? We think we would. You know, kind of like Israel, when the covenant was presented to them of the law, and they said, what? Yes, we will keep this. And then they didn't. We got a whole Old Testament filled with exactly that kind of stuff. Did his chosen people listen when he spoke to them directly? No, they didn't. So we want to hear from God, and we really think if we did, we'd listen to the advice that we got. I think that way too sometimes. What about what his beloved son has already said to us? He told us to forgive one another. He told us to love our enemies. He told us to turn the other cheek and not to seek earthly things, but to store up our treasures in heaven. And not to get hung up living for money, but literally just last week, if you were here, he said to us, lend without expecting repayment. He didn't tell us to hold grudges, to give to the one who asks, he says. And we know this. We know this. We know his word. But what do we do? Why do we think that if he spoke to us in a different way, we'd listen to that? He knows us better than we know ourselves. So he's chosen the better way, the only way to speak to us that will save us. And this is it. This is my beloved son, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. So I encourage you this morning with joy and expectation that no matter what you're dealing with in your life, no matter what you smell coming in the future maybe, and you're anxious about or stressing about or wondering about or losing sleep over, I encourage you with joyful expectation to really give listening to Jesus a try on that one. Let's do it his way. Because he has great things to say to us. And he's wise above all wisdom. The fact is, what he tells us is amazing. He tells us of a God who loves us, who forgives every single time that we've tried to quarantine him to speak to us our way, that there's forgiveness for the times when we tried to get God to speak out of both sides of his mouth or control both sides of the conversation, those dangerous, dangerous excuses that we hear some people say, you know, God told me I should do this. Oh, really? He did, huh? Where did he say that to you? And unless the answer is, you know, Luke chapter 6, verse 10 or something, I ain't going to believe him. In fact, a follow-up question is, for me anyways, is often when someone says, God told me to do this, I say, what language did he speak to you in? Because he spoke in Hebrew to Moses, and Jesus spoke Greek and Aramaic, and now he's speaking to you in English. That's interesting. We're lost and confused in our own minds on these things, and God straightens us out this morning with his grace by explaining exactly how this works. Jesus is God to us. He wants us to know these few things here at the end of the sermon. If you came in the church this morning with a burdened conscience, there's something on your mind and it's bothering you. He wants you to hear, you're forgiven, because His grace is greater than any of our sin. If you came in here this morning feeling lonely and isolated, even if you spend lots of time with other people, but when you're around those people, you don't feel together, you feel lonely, He wants you to hear this: I'll never leave you or forsake you. If you're afraid and stuck in a situation, He wants you to hear this: in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, for I've overcome the world. And if you're worried about the future and smell something scary coming, or even if you're afraid you're close to the end of your life, He wants you to hear these words that He said to the thief on the cross next to Him: today you'll be with me in paradise. That no matter what happens today or tomorrow, we're safe and we're secure. And like it says in Romans chapter 5, that since we've been justified by faith, we now have peace with God. Don't let any voice or anything in this world tell you anything different. God is pleased and delighted in you because of what Jesus did, and He'll always be with you. May His words of the gospel hit us with full force this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able, as we confess our faith this morning to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, Light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father. He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. We now come to our prayers of the church. Our response this morning for our prayers is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, in prayer, Your Son Jesus revealed His glory to Peter, James, and John. Grant that we also gathered in prayer would see Him by faith in the hearing of His word and receive from Him the redemption that He accomplished for us. Lord, in Your mercy. Almighty God, You bestow honor and favor on all who dwell in Your house and withhold no good thing from them. Give us faith in Your promises that we who worship You here may come to dwell in Your heavenly house. Lord, in Your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, As you appointed Moses of old to lead your people, so you sent your son, Jesus, to find and lead your church. Sustain us from age to age and grant us teachers of righteousness to guide us in the days to come. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Father, by the blood of your Christ, he has purified his bride, the church. Strengthen her and give her unity of doctrine and piety. Bless this holy house and those who enter here, that they may do so in faith and in reverence and in trust in you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, all authority is given by you and your hands. Give wisdom, Lord, to our president, to those who serve in public office. Lord, that they may govern according to your good and gracious will. Lord, bless the work of this congregation as we work together to reach those who haven't been blessed with this wonderful knowledge that what you did on the cross and in the resurrection saved them. That it isn't about what they have to do, but about what you have done. Lord, help us bring that message. And Lord, grant favorable weather and abundance of the fruits of the earth. Prosper all honorable vocations, businesses, and industries. Lord, in your mercy. Most merciful God, as we follow the way of your apostles into your presence, you join our prayers to the ceaseless petitions of your dear Son. Hear us for the sake of the troubled, the sick, and the dying, and all those who are in need that we name before you this morning from the altar: Alan Stolp, Sandy Cody, Jim Schrader, Dick Greitz, Bob Phillips, Larry Reinbarger, Susan St. Cyr, the family of John Johnson and the Isers, Rob Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Lori Hauser, Donna Ford, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jerry, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, we praise you, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Give us ears to hear your voice speaking through your word. Give us holy lips to receive Christ's blessed sacrament with repentance and faith, and holy awe at your glory granted to us by the means of grace. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember on this day the glorious manifestation of your Son's divinity on the Mount of the Transfiguration. Teach us to listen to Jesus and ever fix our eyes on him and his innocent suffering and death for our forgiveness. And by your grace and mercy, strengthen us to remain faithful in all circumstances of trial, temptation, persecution, and persevere us to the end, that we may die a blessed death, believing in your beloved Son, with whom you are well pleased. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service as we are blessed to be together this morning. If you're gathered here in the sanctuary, it's time for our offering and offertory. During the offering being collected, we sing together hymn 414, "'Tis Good, Lord, to Be Here." Let's sing. Please stand if you're able for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who at his transfiguration revealed his glory to his disciples, that they might be strengthened to protect, to proclaim his cross and resurrection, and with all the faithful look forward to the glory of life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and with archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Take and drink of it, all of you. This is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.